Thank you for listening to this Podcast One Sportsnet production, available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
The following program is a PodcastOne.com production.
He started in a small town in Texas. Worked his ass off to become one of the most famous wrestlers of all time.
We're going to take care of business tonight, and that's the bottom line.
And now, he's dominating the world of on-demand audio.
And he's doing it for the working man.
This is a damn good outlet for me to spew the bullshit off my brain.
Yeah! This is Steve Austin Unleashed.
All right, everybody, welcome to Steve Austin Show. I am coming to you from the mean streets of Los Angeles, California today. I'm sitting over here flat on my ass at 317 Gimmick Street recording the open of this podcast. I am about to be joined by my illustrious wife, Kristen, over here as we shoot the breeze about the headaches, hassles, and horse shit living in Los Angeles, California today. As much as I like the weather out here, sometimes life in L.A. is a real pain in the ass, and you just got to get away and get outdoors and go ride your mule or shoot your bow or whatever it is. That's what I did. Or just sit here shooting the breeze. And as I talk about shooting the breeze and about how the weather is bright and sunny, my thoughts are still with everybody recovering down there from the hurricanes, down there in the Houston area, Rockport area, Corpus Christi, Port Aransas, everyone affected down there in Florida by Irma. So much more recovery to be done. Damn, Puerto Rico just didn't get, hammered by a badass hurricane today or yesterday as I speak. And earthquakes over in Mexico, I think there was one in Japan. My thoughts are with everybody going through these natural disasters that just, they come up out of nowhere and just open up a can of whoop-ass. As you'll hear in the podcast, man, I'm fixing to head down to Home Depot and go grab up a generator. I've been putting this shit off for too long. And I know as we had an earthquake out here a few days ago, I think it was a 3.6 or 3.8. It was minor. Got to be one coming. So I'm going to get ready for that and go get a goddamn generator. I got to spin up my research and pick out one and go get it. Nonetheless, I'm shooting the breeze talking about all that stuff. And I don't want to sit here and brag about being in the sunshine. We're going to get our ass whooped here one of these days. I'm sure there'll be a big quake out here in California. And, I'll get my Ford Bronco and ride around and, see what I can do with my battery chargers, my jumper cables, and all that bullshit I told you guys to buy a long time ago, my four-way tire tool. Hey, man, here's a quick shout-out. A couple of days ago, Bobby the Brain Heenan passed away. And, man, I tell you what, I want to say a couple of words about that guy because I only got to hang around Bobby Heenan a few times. And that guy was one of the funniest human beings I've ever hung around with in my life. And I grew up, you know, he was like a generation and a half before me. But watching him with interact with either Gorilla Monsoon or Vince McMahon or just him by himself doing the Bobby Heenan show on the old WWF programming back in the day, you talk about a lights out, charismatic, articulate, eloquent, supreme entertainer. Bobby Heenan could do it all. He had this kind of timing and a gift for physical comedy, whether he was managing somebody and dressing up in a suit and wrestling somebody, taking bumps, selling, reacting. He was just so goddamn funny. And I just really appreciated everything that he did. And I didn't get a chance, like I said, to hang around him a whole lot. But it seems like I damn near grew up with the guy because when I was in WWF back in the day, one of our lead agents was Black Jack Lanza. And Black Jack helped me with almost all of my pay-per-view matches, stuff like that. And we were always close just from, you know, travels on the road. And I liked to drink beer and whiskey and Jack liked to drink beer and whiskey. So we just hit it off. We would always strike up a conversation at the hotels or wherever, but most often we would always gather up before the shows, before the wrestling shows where Black Jack was running the show. He was the agent handing out the finishes. And it'd be me and Jericho and Taker might be there or Bubba Ray. I mean, the whole cast and crew could have been there, but I know it was always, you know, God dang, you know, Black Jack would always talk real low. You're not going to believe this. One time, me and Heenan, and he'd launch into a story about all the bullshit that Blackjack Lanza and Bobby Heenan got into. And, you know, more often than not, there was just a lot of shenanigans and bullshit and ribs. And the guys were just great friends. And so literally for a couple of years, you know, when Blackjack Lanza was an agent, I mean, a big part of going to the shows and getting there early, beating all the traffic, whatever you got to do, is hanging around waiting for your chance to get inside the damn ring and do your match and then take a shower and then get on to the next show. So you're spending a lot of time just shooting the breeze, hanging out and talking. Hello, Callie. Callie just came over. And so a lot of times we're just trading up stories, and Bobby Heenan's name would always come up, and all the guys would gather around, or it was me and Jack, and he would spin those stories. So to Bobby Heenan, I know you're going up to that big 20-by-20 squared circle in the sky, and I know that Bobby was in a bad way for a long time as he was fighting everything that he was fighting. And, you know, I always, some people say, hey, well, he's in a better place now. I really believe that to be true with Bobby Heenan. I think it just seemed from everything that I had gathered, the guy was in a lot of pain and suffering so much that he passed on and is going to go up to that big wrestling ring in the sky. But Bobby Heenan, you provided me a shit pile of entertainment. I couldn't give a shout out to you to do you any justice if I wasn't able to cuss. And so today is my day to recognize Bobby the Brain Heenan, one of the funniest sumbitches and heat getting some bitches to ever get in the business of pro wrestling. And it had not been for pro wrestling that Bobby Heenan would have gotten to any other form of entertainment, he would have made it to the top because he was just that talented of a guy. A real quick Bobby Heenan story. I can't remember if it was the 2009 Hall of Fame or 2011. I cannot remember, but if you'll remember Bobby's speech, Bobby Heenan was talking up there. And he starts announcing, because I believe at this particular Hall of Fame ceremony, it was on April 1st, and Bobby Heenan said, there's a special deal going on tonight. If you all look underneath your chair, there'll be an envelope. If you have the envelope underneath your chair, you will win whatever he was saying was up at stake. And everybody in that goddamn arena started filling around underneath the bottom of their seat for that envelope that was going to mean they had won something. And everybody was sitting there feeling around. And finally, after a few seconds, Bobby lets them off the hook. April Fools. Bobby fooled everybody in the goddamn building with just a bullshit joke. And everybody took him serious. It was awesome. You had to be there. If you weren't, you know, then you missed it. But anyway, Bobby Heenan was awesome. I was a huge fan, and I'm going to miss you. And I hope you're at peace up there in the sky. Hey, man, my show today continues. As I come back, I'm talking with my wife. We're shooting the breeze. Part of my doing this podcast was talk about some of the headaches, hassle, and horseshit that we go through in life. And my wife and I go through our share. She's coming right back to get into the podcast and shoot the breeze with the better half of this organization. But before I do that, I got to give big ups to TrueCar. Now, there's something about TrueCar a lot of people don't know. The TrueCar can also help you find a used car. In fact, there are over 700,000 pre-owned vehicles available from TrueCar certified dealers nationwide. Whether you're looking to buy new or used, TrueCar gets you upfront pricing information that empowers, letting you see what other people pay for the car you want so you can know what a fair price is and feel confident. And with TrueCar, you can connect with a local certified dealer of your choosing to make the process quick and easy. When you're ready to buy a new or used car, visit TrueCar to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features are not available in all states.
Hey everyone, Lillian Garcia here. Make sure you check out my new show, Chasing Glory with Lillian Garcia, every Monday on Podcast One. I'm bringing you the biggest stars in entertainment where we discuss their journey to fame. Dave Bautista helped kick off the show, and since then, we've had WWE superstar Samoa Joe and undefeated boxing champ Layla Ali. Many more of your favorite athletes and entertainers to come here on Chasing Glory, so hit that subscribe button and hang out with me every Monday.
This is Steve Austin Unleashed.
All right, everybody, welcome to Steve Austin Show. Good morning. I'm sitting here at 317 Gimmick Street across from a 4x4 table with my illustrious wife, Kristen. Good morning, Kristen. How are you?
Good morning, Steve. And apparently I'm supposed to say, yes, and I'm doing great.
I was trying to coach my wife up. My wife talks her ass off. She talks a lot. A lot of times I'll get home from doing something and I'm wiped out and we start laying down in bed and we're both perusing the internet and my wife has to download her entire day to me. And I don't want to say shit. And she's just talking. I'm trying to read and she just keeps talking. So all of a sudden I get on a podcast, I just ask her a question, and she gives the brass tack answer. So I told her right before I hit the record button, yes, and. So elaborate further. You could say, hey, man, you know, I got up this morning, you know, we had a quick cup of coffee. I went off to my exercise class, came back, I'm ready to do the podcast with you. Or you could have said this, because this is what actually happened. As you know, if you listen to the podcast, we used to have three labs. We had to put Hershey down. We have two labs. We have Mula and Callie. Mula's a silver lab. She's, what, 5 years old?
She's four and a half.
And four and a half years old.
50 pounds overweight.
She is overweight. We're trying to dial it back. I give her too many treats. It's all my fault. Goddamn, that's a smart doggo.
She is very smart.
She knows how to work me. She brings me this black Kong toy. And she just jumps up and throws it in my lap. And when she does that, I'm supposed to put a treat in it, slap a spoonful of peanut butter in her and hand it to her. And God dang, she's off like a shot. She goes to our bedroom and that's where she eats it. So I don't know how many damn things I give her. Obviously way too many. But when I'm walking her down the street, damn near take on a walk every single day, it's like walking a damn silver school bus. She's that fucking big. Like, dude, well, why does that guy got that bus on a leash? That ain't a bus. That's my silver lab. She's just a little bit heavy.
Well, and she also finds avocados in the yard. So she eats probably 3 to 4 avocados a day, and that packs on the weight.
Goddamn, we got this big-ass avocado tree over here, and that sumbitch just drops off avocados after avocado. And we go in there, and you'll see Mula sneaking around a corner, and she goes through the bedroom door from the outside and sneaks on our bed. And we go in there, and we bust her. And we go, Mula, and she gives us the most vicious growl because she's being very protective. Of course, she would never bite us in a million years. It's kind of a game we play with her. And you got to pry the goddamn avocados out of her mouth to get to some bitches. And, you know, it's 3 or 4 of them a day.
And this is after the squirrels have gnawed on them and whatever other wildlife out there has been chewing on them. She wants to eat them, and they're disgusting.
I couldn't believe that they were actually eating them. I just thought they were bringing them in there and fucking around with and playing them like a tennis ball.
No.
And yeah,
no.
And they start eating those bastards. And, you know, for your average avocado, you know, you're looking at about the size out there, 200 to 220 calories.
Yeah.
So times 3 or 4, 600 to 800 calories on top of what we're giving her. And the dog food that we give her is high quality dog food at the recommended dosage. I've been giving her too much peanut butter and treats. And then those avocados, hey, man, you can't be. You know, I've been on a keto diet. She's at a caloric surplus. I'm about to put her little canine ass on a keto diet and see how it works for her. Because I slimmed up on it. I just put my carbs in yesterday. God damn, it was nice to put 2.5 cups of brown rice back into my diet. Well, 2 cups of rice and a half cup of oatmeal.
Yeah.
It was like heaven. I can actually start eating carbohydrates again. I feel a little bit more energized. The keto ride was interesting. I had plenty of energy on it, Kristen. But then towards the end of the day, after about 4 to 5 months, I started having a few lulls. So now that I do, now with the slow add in of the carbohydrates, I'm feeling a little bit better. Do I look more energetic?
No, but you were drinking like 16 Red Bulls, 7 cups of coffee.
It got to be a little much. And plus, I mean, I was doing a hardcore, you know, intense cardio along with my weight training program, kind of halfway trained like all those athletes of the Broken Skull Challenge.
It was pretty cute to look over here and see you doing burpees and like mountain climbers and all sorts of crazy exercises that I've actually never seen you do before.
Hey, man, I'll tell you what. I had a conversation with Cassidy from the Broken Skull Challenge. And after talking with her, that kind of really opened my eyes up. And I've been talking to Tommy Hackenbrook and Ian and Hunter, my premier athletes, and Candace. And the one time when I sat down with Cassidy and listened to her talk about how and why she worked out the way she did over at Epic Hybrid Fitness in New York City, I said, man, there's something to this. I got to give it a try. And so I decided to step out of my box. And, you know, the same old I've been doing for 40 years, you know, 12 to 16 sets of back, 12 to 16 sets of chest, 8 to 12 sets of, you know, buys or tries. You know, it's the same old, same old.
But so it's pretty funny to watch your rickety old body get on the ground trying
pretty
to get
Pretty funny. Fuck my ass, it's funny. Here's the thing.
You're not flexible. That's the...
No, I ain't flexible at all. And I always like when sometimes I respect the hell out of all the people who, you know, have adopted or adapted a CrossFit type lifestyle, or that's the training regimen they use. Great. I'm not a fan of the kipping pull-ups or some of the other movements, but it's a great methodology or structure to get in badass shape. And so these people, sometimes they'll tell me, hey man, you can do handstand push-ups and kipping pull-ups. And no, I had my shoulder rebuilt. You can do it. No, motherfucker, I can't do it. You didn't live 14 years on the fucking road having guys beat the shit out of you with steel chairs, dropping you on your stack of dimes and getting two rebuilt shoulders, a fusion in your neck, broke bones in your back, right arm don't straighten out. My right arm's crooked as a politician.
You forgot about your knees.
Yeah. God damn. Had ACL, PCL put in the left knee, still missing the PCL in the right knee. So don't tell me what I can do. I know what the fuck I can do. So my wife came around, you know, that my workout facility is right beside our house in the backyard. It's got a canopy over it, and I turn my little jam box on, and I got my system going. And my problem is Mula comes over, and she wants me to throw the ball for her. Finally, Mula has realized that it's not time to throw the ball with Daddy's trying to work out. But Callie ain't figured that out yet. And she's always standing right there with a tennis ball in her mouth. And Callie's problem is she's very vocal.
Very vocal. She's the loudest lab I have ever had in my life.
None of our labs have ever been barky.
No.
Now, when someone knocks on the door or rings the doorbell, Mula has this siren of a long-winded bark. I mean, it's a... She lets you know what the fuck's going on.
Yeah.
That's her house. Someone's at the door. But she doesn't really bark.
No.
Callie comes over here. I'm trying to do my workouts, and I'm going to get into what I was doing with
my
rickety
ass. It's pretty cute, though.
Oh, it's very cute, and I love her. And so I've invented a system with her. But she'll sit that damn ball down on the ground, and while I'm over here trying to do burpees and squat thrust and push-ups and planks and doing my cleaning jerks and all the other stuff, she's barking at me to throw the fucking tennis ball.
And she just stares at the ball and barks.
Yeah. And then she looks back up at you. Do you not understand, you dumb motherfucker? I want you to throw this ball. And so, like, finally, I just started throwing a ball. And there's a... What's it, a... cement block wall,
yeah.
And I got a bunch of signs nailed up to it. And I'll throw the ball, it ricochets off the wall, and then she starts chasing it. And she gets a damn good workout. But by the time, you know, I'm sitting there throw the ball for 20 minutes, you know, I've got too much time in between my sets.
Right.
So anyway, I finally got Callie tired so I could do my workout in. And I was over there doing squat thrusts. Well, if you know what a squat thrust is, it's a shortcut or a progression to the burpee. Because burpees, man, when I jump down into the position of a push-up and then spring back up to jump, that's a little bit of a dynamic move for the system or damage that I've done to my system. So I started off doing a squat thrust. Go down to basically a push-up position with your arms extended, kick your legs back, come back up. So my wife walked over, and I was just finishing up a set of squat thrusts, going on to, I think I was doing a set of planks or something. I do core now. I actually work my core, and it's paid big dividends. So my wife's looking at me. I'm wearing a heart rate monitor. My heart's at about 136. I'm about to die, and she wants to come over and have a conversation. I just got Callie tired, and now my wife's going to chew my ear off about some kind of bullshit.
Probably furniture.
So, I want to get to the furniture. So, but it wasn't, I don't know if me doing a squat thrust or a burpee or any of this stuff. Oh, man, mountain climbers. I tell you what, I always thought, you know, for a while I was in that box that I was in, you know, just being macho mode, standard guy, go to the gym, you know, training the body parts, you know, one body part a week. Sets of 8 to 12, you know, sets of, you know, 12 to 16 per body part. That's the way I trained. All of a sudden, you start doing something different. And I was in really good shape as far as lifting weights is concerned. But all of a sudden, you jump down and just try to start doing sets of 10 burpees. Say you want to do 5 sets of 10 burpees with a minute rest. it will smoke your ass. I couldn't do it. So I jumped down and I did 10 squat thrusts. And then I was doing sets of 30 mountain climbers with a set of 30 opposite knee to elbows standing. That's when you came over, when I was doing that kind of a system, that a cycle that I had made. And I'm huffing and puffing. And, you know, when I got on YouTube to kind of watch, you know, look at these guys and gals do some of this stuff, and I'm thinking to myself, mountain climbers. I remember those back when I was in junior high. You had to do mountain climbers in PE.
Right.
And they was easy. They ain't easy no more. Because I can get on an elliptical, or I can get on my air bike, my assault air bike over there, and pedal like a motherfucker. All of a sudden, you get down in a handstand position and start doing mountain climbers, it will blow your ass up. And then go knee to elbows, standing air. God damn, my core's gotten much better, but I look like an idiot.
Well, it's a different type of conditioning, too, and it's good for your body to switch it up a little bit.
Well, when are you going to switch it up a little bit? The LA damn near shut down your Zumba class. You used to go to Zumba 5 days a week, and I was thinking, man, God damn, I guess my wife's having an affair. She's always gone. She always leaves in her Zumba attire, and she comes back sweaty. Something's up. And then your Zumba got cut down to one night a week, and that sucks for you.
It
really good for
does.
Me because I get dinner on time, and you love to cook. I'm not trying to throw the sexist thing in there. Yeah. You love to cook, so I'm eating all the time. But what are you going to do? Oh, you got to tell the bicycle story.
I decided, well, why don't we start riding bikes again? Because we live in a beautiful place. We're right on the beach, and there's a beautiful bike path. Let's start riding our bikes. We bought two bikes, I guess, 10 years ago. Spent way too much money on them. Way too many bells and whistles. Pulled them out of the storage deal, and they were spider webs, flat tires.
Corrosion.
And I looked at your bike, and you had so much stuff on it, like heart rate monitors, special tires, special brakes.
A GPS gimmick. Yeah. I had to get this motherfucker outfitted with all the things that you're, you know, stupid.
And it's a mountain bike, and we don't mountain bike.
The whole time, man, when I used to ride that bike 10, 11 years ago, I don't know what the fuck possessed me to get a mountain bike. I had never been on a mountain bike in my life.
I have no idea.
Much less rode a bike on a mountain.
Right.
But I figured it looks cool, so it's got to be cool. And you're down in this hunched down position, and it's uncomfortable as fuck, especially with my body. And I'm trying to pedal, and it ain't fun. Because you can't just stand, you kind of sit up and ride with one arm, much less no hands.
You have to be in an action pose, as if you were riding on a mountain, and we don't do that. So needless to say, we decide we're going to take up biking again, because I only have Zumba one day a week, and we can bike down the path.
And, you know, while I'm on that mountain bike, I mean, in that aggressive position, that seat on that bike is about the size of an iPhone 6.
No, it's the size of a banana.
God damn, you talk about it. If you ain't got hemorrhoids, it'll give you hemorrhoids. I won't even go into that because my wife's sitting in front of me. But God damn, and I ain't got hemorrhoids for the record. But I'm just saying, that seat's a little small.
And it's uncomfortable.
It's uncomfortable. Yeah. So my wife and I said, well, nonetheless, we'll take these damn things to the repair shop, which is only 4 blocks from our house. We roll those things in there. And said, hey, man, well, actually, Kristen's bike didn't need any work. It was mine. The brakes, needs new brakes.
Because it needs everything.
Everything's fucked up because it's been sitting for 10 years. My wife said, go ahead.
What did I say?
Was it, well, you know what? What about a new bike? Because you have to do all this work on mine just to get it up and running.
Right.
And we're looking at these new cruiser bikes that are like 7 gears, upright position, tall handlebars.
Great handlebars.
And she says, Steve, why don't you consider trying one of these bikes? And I was like, you know me, Mr., you know, tightwad.
And Mr. Macho, beach cruiser is not necessarily the most macho thing that you've ever
Well, the first one you pointed at was kind of like my bike, but very simplified.
Yeah.
But still kind of a mountain bike type thing. But I was sitting more upright. And I said, okay, let me take it around the block. I was like, man, this is amazing.
And then this
first, amazing.
Yeah, it was amazing. It was surreal.
And so you I'm only like, took like every bike in that shop for a spin around the block. Like, I don't think the guy thought you were coming back.
God damn, I'm going to get my money's worth.
And hey, that's how you got your cardio, and you did it for an hour.
But the thing about it was, I was going to make sure that I rode those goddamn bikes long enough, because it's just like when I told my brother when they were buying their camper, their RV, I said, man, you can drive that damn thing 20 miles, but until you go further than that, you don't really know anything about it. You got to spend some time in those things. So I was going to spend some time on that goddamn bicycle before I said, yes, I want it, or no, I don't. And so I got off that kind of mountain bike like mine, but it was more comfortable. It was really, really nice. And Kristen and this guy start wheeling this beach cruiser over towards me.
Yellow.
It's no, this one was, that was yours.
Okay.
This one was gray, grayish black, and the handlebars were like.
At your ears.
Yeah, they're about 5 feet in the air. And it's got full fenders on the front and back. I mean, this somebody looks like somebody 80 years old would ride it. Zero cool factor.
I think it looks pretty cool.
Well, anyway, the name for my bike is Grandpa. So I get on Grandpa, and I take it for a spin around the block. And I'm like, wow, this is different. I'm not in a death race position. I'm not over in a Tour de France. I got to go 45 miles an hour position. I'm actually sitting upright vertical, and I was riding with one hand on the handlebar thinking, look how easy this is. And I was like, it had the little gear changer on the right handlebar. It's got like six or seven gears. Yeah. That's it. I was like, man, this is really, really cool. When I got back to the bike shop, I said, well, let me try the other one again. Went back to it. And I was like, you know what? I think I'll ride it. I think I'll get it.
Well, no, you went, I think you went three more rounds before
I
you.
Did. I rode that motherfucker. I got about 30 miles on it. And I told the guy, I said, I promise I'm coming back. And like when we went, there was plenty of daylight. When I came back, I mean, it was damn near dark. But I was going to make sure that I liked that fucking bike. And then they didn't have the one that you wanted.
Well, then I test drove several, but I opted for the one that you got, but in the girl version. So that's supposed to be in either today or tomorrow. So I'm looking forward to that. And that's how we're going to get some more exercise in, some more different type of cardio, I suppose.
Well, I'm looking forward to it because we used to try to ride our mountain bikes, and we would go, because we live in a marina, and there's this one route that you can take for miles and miles and not see anybody and get away from the cars. And I was thinking, that'll be fun. And when I was riding home, though, Chris and I went to the grocery store yesterday and got our groceries. I said, hey, man, swing me by the bike shop. I'll pick up that bike because I needed to make some adjustments on the brakes and the gear. And I picked it up, and Kristen went home, and I got on my bicycle, and I was riding home in a leisurely fashion, upright and vertical. And I was like, God damn, this is comfortable. I got the seat adjusted for me. And then cars started zooming by me, and I'm thinking, God damn, here's going to be a global icon and a national treasure. Going to get end up smoked on a fucking bicycle, trying to pick up a hobby that it can burn some calories, enjoy the outdoor lifestyle, and get healthy. And all these idiots in Los Angeles and everywhere else across the United States of America texting on their iPhones, not paying attention, and I'm going to get creamed into one of these cars parked on the side of the road. That's what I was thinking.
Well, you can wear your motorcycle helmet when you drive it.
I was thinking about it because I told Chris and I said, maybe you should get a helmet. And that's the way I said that. I said, maybe you should get a helmet.
Yeah.
But what did you tell me?
No.
You're so hard-headed.
I did wear a helmet when I was snowboarding. I haven't snowboarded in a couple of years, but I did wear a helmet then. But I've never ridden a bike with a helmet, and I know you're supposed to. It's, you know, I don't want to jinx myself now either, but... Yeah.
Here's a story. When Kristen and I first met, when we got those bicycles, we figured, or at least, well, no, she already had these on. You had the clip-on pedals.
The clip-on pedals.
Anybody that rides a bike that's real serious about riding fast uses the clip-on pedals that clip to your shoes so you can pull up and push down and do all the shit. So, of course, me and Kristen had to have a clip-on pedals. Hell, I got a mountain bike, and, you know, I'm full race mode. I got to get all the bells and whistles.
And we're not even on a mountain, but we're on a steep hill.
Yeah, we're on a real steep hill. And for some reason, we come down this big-ass hill to the stop sign, and Kristen just promptly just falls over on her left
side. I couldn't get my clips off. I got stuck.
Yeah, but all of a sudden, she goes crashing down on her left shoulder, and she's laying there, God bless her, and her feet are still clipped to the pedals. She's kind of like laying like a turtle, except on her side. She's fucked. And I'm like, God damn, you okay? Okay. And she starts cussing me out. Why was it arbitrarily my fault that you fell down?
It was just your fault. I had to blame somebody. It was your fault I fell. I was so mad.
God damn, I went home. I had like PTSD. I got a wrench.
I was still stuck. I couldn't get my feet out of the pedals.
I just picked her up and gave her a push and said, go, young woman, go. This was 10 years ago when you were a young woman. We went to the house. I was so traumatized. I couldn't ride a bike with my wife for a long time. And I got a wrench out and I took those fucking clip pedals off my bike. And I said, you know what? I'm just going to pedestrian this motherfucker and just ride slow. But I was in such a hunched up position.
Yeah,
we
still had a mountain bike.
And so that's why the fucking bikes were in storage for 10 years. So now we got the mom and pop with the grandma and grandpa cruisers.
Yes.
So if you see some big ass bald headed guy with a goatee wearing camo shorts and a black shirt riding a big ass bike with front and rear fenders on it, keep your ass away from it. I got a big reflector on the front, and I got a big reflector on the back, and I'm probably going to get a Q-beam spotlight. You know, like when you ride at nighttime, yeah. In L.A., it's the law that you have to have a light or some type of system on there. I'm going to call Shannon down at UVC Power Sports and get her to put me a light bar on my fucking bike. I'm a redneck as somebody's to the gills. If I get hit, it won't be because someone did not see me.
Maybe you can get a camo wrap on it.
No, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get that sumbitch wrapped in high visibility orange.
Oh, there you go.
And I'm going to get one of those vests that all the traffic workers wear. And it's either going to be blaze orange or it's going to be bright yellow. So if you see me coming, get out of the fucking way. It was cute, though, Kristen, because one of the bikes that you was thinking about getting, it wasn't ergonomically correct for you. But it had the basket on the front.
Had a basket, yeah.
And at first you were against the basket because I think you're trying to be like cool
chick mode. Sort of
cool,
yeah.
Yeah, cool. And then all of a sudden I saw some reasoning flash in your eyes. Like you could put stuff in there.
I really liked the basket. In fact, when I was younger, I used to have a basket to put my little dog in there. And she used to sit in the basket as I rode the bike down the beach. And it was great.
Well, right. So then you start figuring, you know, and I'm thinking ahead. I'm thinking, oh, a six pack of beer. She got a bottle of water. I'm drinking a little bit more whiskey now. A bottle of whiskey, shot glass. You know, we got a mobile bar. You know, another thing. We were driving the other day, and I saw this electric car. We see them all the time.
Electric bike, you mean?
No. The electric car.
Oh.
The guys that drive people
around. Yeah.
Because the guy blew through the red light, and he was texting.
That's right. It's one of those, like, electric car shuttles. They're like beach shuttles. They only run certain months in the summer here, and so they cart people around that, you know, want a free ride.
Well, my argument is...
But the guy was texting as he was crossing an intersection. It was just appalling to see.
Yeah, but my whole thing is, yeah, because, you know, I told Chris, I said, sure enough, you and me getting that motherfucker, we're going to get T-boned by a smart car in an intersection, and, you know, I ain't going out that way. So if you can drive an electric golf cart, basically what it is, it's a golf cart on steroids with a stretch job to cart people around, I don't know why I can't drive my Kawasaki mules around the streets of Los Angeles.
That's a good question.
I got a light bar. All you got to do is install some turn signals. I like to call them blinkers. So that
indicators.
Way I can let everybody know if I'm taking a left or going right or putting my brakes on and ride around. It's probably got to be pretty damn fuel efficient.
You'd probably be a very happy camper if you could ride your mule around L.A.
You're right. You're exactly right. If I could just ride my mules around Los Angeles, I would be happy as a clam living in the city if I could do that. But I can't, and I don't know why they won't do that. I'm going to have to call the...
DMV.
Who's the head of the DMV? The police department? DMV? Is that who I need to talk to?
I think the DMV, yeah.
Well, I'm going to call DMV because I've been meaning to go down there and get my license for my little scooter, which I never have. In 5 years of ownership, that scooter has 300 miles on it.
And that's something interesting to see, too.
Yeah, because I'm a little big for that scooter. Well, I've dropped a few pounds, so but
you're still too big for the scooter.
It's like Dusty Rhodes would say. Oh, it's like Steven Seagal said in a movie one time that I was working with him on. Steve, it's like a monkey trying to fuck a foosball. I'm like, geez, clock in the New Orleans accent, and he's from Michigan. Well, my deal is, Kristen, if I could ride my mule around on the streets of Los Angeles, I'd be okay with living in the city. And so I get so pent up. Yesterday, I decided to go to Broken Skull Challenge Compound to charge up the batteries in my mules.
Well, you do need a break from the city.
Oh, I had to get out of the city, man. It was just too much. I hit the wall. I said, I got to get out of here. I'm going to go out to the Broken Skull Compound. There's a couple hundred acres I can ride around on, and I'm going to take my bow and a target and shoot some and just relax. So sure enough, I cooked my chicken on my Traeger grill. I got my protein shakes, had plenty of water.
You had your brown rice.
Had my brown rice, my first day back on carbs, and feeling a little bit of energy. I'm getting some glycogen back in my muscles. Jesus Christ, my damn veins started popping out finally again. It was nice. And went out to the compound. I had a good time. I shot my bow. I was pretty accurate. The first time I've shot that thing since I had shoulder surgery. I was able to pull it back. I got on track. There's another show shooting down there. There's a YouTube show being shot down there, so I didn't have access to the Skullbuster Alley or most of the compounds. So I just went up on the landing strip where we do a lot of our challenges, put up my target and started shooting my bow. Rode around a little bit, and then I decided, okay, man, I better start up my other mules and check the batteries on those, and I did. And I got everything loaded back up in my vehicle. I was heading back to Los Angeles. And there was two fucking cars. I was just cruising along, trying. I had decompressed, Kristen.
I doubt you were cruising.
Well, I mean, I was cruising along about 85.
Okay.
There was a lot of highway patrols out yesterday. They were everywhere. On motorcycles and on cars and in SUVs, they had a lot of people pulled over. I was driving pretty reasonably. I was coming home, and I'd relaxed. I was in a pretty good space, and I'd kind of cleared my head, and I was ready to return back here to 316 Gimmick Street. And all of a sudden, this motherfucker in a Kia Optima. I'm driving in a left-hand lane, and this guy in a Kia Optima is in the right-hand lane, and there's two more lanes to his right. I'm going at a pretty good rate of speed. All of a sudden, he just cuts in front of me, and he's driving 65 miles an hour. And the traffic started getting a little congested there, and this motherfucker had that 400-yard gap in between him and the next car, which is where I would have been had he not unceremoniously just cut me off without using his blinker. And I'm following this motherfucker. The HOV lane is to my left. I wasn't going to jump over there and make an illegal pass. I had all my weights and shit in the back of the vehicle. So I just waited it out. And I'm thinking, I can see this stupid motherfucker in front of me. You know, you just see him.
Yeah.
And it's like this guy ain't thinking very far in front of him. And you just needed to ride in the left-hand lane because they're too lazy and they just want to just ride that lane. And so finally there was an opening on the right-hand side and I gassed it. And that motherfucking Yukon kicked into about fourth gear and I passed his ass and immediately put my left-hand blinker on and cut his ass off. And I was happy there for a while. I was riding right along. And then all of a sudden, I get over here on Washington, where it's kind of like the home stretch over here to Gimmick Street. And I'll be goddamn if this son of a bitch in a Mitsubishi, I got to get this right, Diamante. Do you remember the Mitsubishi Diamante? With all due respect, one of the greatest shit boxes ever put on four wheels. The Diamante. What a name. Mitsubishi, we got a good idea for a great car. What are we going to call it? The Diamante. Bingo. Build it. This motherfucker cuts me off, and I'm just trying to get home to my baby girl and just go pick up my bicycle. I know we got to go get groceries and say hello to Moolah and Callie. And this motherfucker in a damn Mitsubishi Diamante is all over the place. This motherfucker's going in the left-hand turn lane. He's jerking back over. It was one of those
drinking and driving?
No, I finally was able to get in the right-hand lane and gunned it.
It's like you're so eager to see what the heck they're doing, too. You know?
Well, I figured what they were doing, and It was an interesting situation, and this person had a big old smile on her face. And when I passed, it was a female. When I passed her, she had her iPhone in her left hand, and she was looking down at her phone and texting, and then grabbing the steering wheel. That's what the fuck she was doing. She had her head up her ass, but she figured she got to get in front of me, and then I can see through that rearview mirror, and she had that damn shitty tint job on the back of her, you know, window. But I could almost see what the fuck she's doing. I looked at her. Cause you know, like anytime someone's in front of you, just got to look over and see who and what the fuck is driving this vehicle and why. So
you do. It's so
you do.
True.
It's like, I just want to see what this motherfucker looks like so I can process it and come to grips with it. If not, I'll just go home, start eating Xanax. Well, why are you eating the Xanax? I couldn't see that motherfucker cut me off. I didn't need the Xanax. This way I could go home and get straight on the whiskey.
There is something very satisfying about seeing who's in front of you when they piss you off.
I don't know why it is. Because there was one dude driving a cargo truck. I left him.
It puts an exclamation point on your inclination that this person's an idiot.
Yeah. I just wanted to see. Like Foxworth, they said, here's your sign. This one motherfucker cut me off. He was driving a cargo truck. I mean, he just, because he got over because he was in the HOV lane and the highway patrol cop was over on the shoulder road. I was coming up in the left-hand lane. He just shot over once you pass the cop because he didn't want to get pulled over. That's a stiff fine. And then he got over to the right and that cleared the lane for me. And he cut off somebody else when he was going to the right. And on this, I could see him in the rearview mirror as well. And I was like, I could shoot him the right-hand stare and just kind of give him that steely drive-by like, you dumb motherfucker. But I said, you know what? I ain't even going to give him the satisfaction of getting put over for cutting me off. So I kayfabed his ass and just kept driving. And I was curious. I wanted to shoot him at, you're not road raging. You just want to kind of shoot him at incredulous, really, dude, kind of look. But I wouldn't even give him the satisfaction of that.
Yeah, I've had those moments too.
Yes, I said, dude, fuck you. You know, I'm just going to drive by like you didn't matter. And he didn't. Anyway, I came
home.
The
psychology of driving in L.A.
Well, goddamn, it's a coping mechanism because you got to have something up your sleeve to be able to cope with all the bullshit living out here. I love the weather, but goddamn, and there's some great motherfuckers in Los Angeles. Don't get me wrong, but there's a bunch of stupid ones, too. Hey, goddamn, let's take a pause for the calls from the sponsors. Keep the show on here for free. I got a couple of bullshit stories I'm going to tell you. I'm coming right back with my wife, Kristen, after this.
Want to know why Attack Each Day was on top of the iTunes charts in its first week?
What the hell's going on around here?
I ripped my headphones off, spun around, and flinged them. I turn around, and my dad is like 3 inches from my face. And he says, go get him.
Gentlemen, we're going to attack this day with an enthusiasm unknown to mankind.
Hear Jim Harbaugh, Jack Harbaugh, and JT Rogan share their stories every Tuesday on Attack Each Day, the Harbaugh's podcast, on the Podcast One app, Apple Podcasts, and PodcastOne.com.
The wait is over. Football is back, which means FanDuel is back. FanDuel is fantasy football for everyday fans. There are new contests starting every week. There's something for everyone at FanDuel. Lots of contests to choose from, starting at just $1. Just pick a contest, choose your team, and watch your score in real time. Over 2.5 million players have won a cash prize playing fantasy sports on FanDuel. Sign up today. Just go to FanDuel.com, click the Join Now button, and use my code Austin. Don't get left out this NFL season. Try FanDuel for free with no deposit required. Visit FanDuel.com to claim your free contest and play for a share of $10,000. Just sign up using my promo code Austin, A-U-S-T-I-N. That's FanDuel.com, promo code Austin. Void where prohibited.
This is Steve Austin, Unleashed.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Steve Austin Show. I'm sitting here with my wife at 317 Gimmick Street. When we took a break, Mula came over along with Callie, and they started wrestling on this brand-new big-ass couch, which I'm about to get in the middle of this story on. I braved all the Los Angeles traffic, got a chance to go out there and clear my cobwebs out of my brain at the Broken Skull Challenge compound by shooting my bow and driving my mule around, fighting that fucking traffic. For anybody that owns one of the finest cars on the streets of anywhere, the Mitsubishi Diamante, I did not mean to offend you if you own one of those things. I would love to have one, take it to West Coast Customs and get them to put a 12-inch lift on it, make it four-wheel drive, and maybe slap in a Ford Coyote motor. Boy, what a swap that would be. And to the Kia Optima owners, I didn't say shit about the Kia Optima. It was that motherfucker driving that sumbitch that pissed me off. The Kia Optima, God knows, I would love to have one of those. Almost as much as I'd like to have one of those McLarens that dude brought over the other day.
Oh, yeah, that was really nice.
Got to get into that story, man. That was pretty cool, wasn't it?
It was really cool. And I'm not even a car person, but that thing was pretty cool.
God dang, I got a buddy of mine on Twitter. He's Motorator and Instagram, Motorator. And this guy does a podcast, the Carcast with Adam Carolla. And that's what they do. They review and drive, you know, race cars, high-end cars, sports cars. And he told me a couple of days ago that he had in this McLaren 720S. And, hey, man, if you want, I'll bring it by and let you check it out. Well, I was going to, you know, he was going to bring it by. We were set up to talk on, what, Saturday or Sunday. And my wife, she had a goddamn root canal. When did you have your root canal?
Friday. Well, I had a horrible toothache. And I called the dentist. I said, can you please get me in? And fortunately, they got me in within, you know, 4 hours. And, of course, they had to do a root canal, the last thing you want to do on Friday afternoon at 4 o'clock. But I was looking forward to it.
When my wife says, I have got to get this tooth looked at, and she had that looked in it, that thousand-yard stare, I was like, we got to get it. I call on the dentist. She said, I'll do whatever you want. I'll drive you. I told you I'd drive you. You didn't want to.
No, there's no reason for you to drive me.
You're tough as nails. You're so hardcore. That's why I love you. My wife's a goddamn tough, and her tooth was hurting her so much, she goes, I'm driving myself to the dentist. I said, yes, you are.
Well, I wanted you to watch Callie because she just got fixed, and we can't leave her unattended because she ate her... It's like an inner tube you put around their neck. They're donut, whatever.
You know, a lot of times when you get surgery on your dog, they put that plastic cone on. Well, instead of using those plastic cones, because Callie is such a wild dog, I mean, she would literally go ballistic and tear the house up.
She
probably
would
hurt herself. So we get one of those inflatable gimmicks you put around a dog's head. And so Kristen put the inflatable gimmick around her head, and I was over here in the backyard at 317 lifting weights. And here comes Callie plowing over. She got this inner tube wrapped around her fucking head. I'm thinking, I guess Kristen's giving it that test drive to when we get them by ourselves, she can't take it off.
Right.
Well, there's a canopy over my weightlifting station back here at the gym. And she promptly wedged her head in there between that and the fence and pulled that motherfucker off. And then once she did that, she commenced to taking out that nipple and chewed it off. So you can't, you know, cap it and keep the air in it. So she took it off and destroyed it in about 30 seconds.
Yeah.
So we figured that wasn't going to be the ticket. So anyway, I got Motorator wants to come by, show me the McLaren 720S, possibly let me even drive it. And I got to watch the dogs because Kristen's got to go, you know, check on her mom out in Thousand Oaks. Because Callie, we can't let her eat her stitches out of her abdomen from getting fixed.
Well, so we have to supervise her. You just can't leave a dog unsupervised when they've got stitches.
Absolutely. But, you know, when you're a global icon and a national treasure, the toughest SOB to ever step foot in a ring in the WWF, and I got to call Motorator. Oh, I sent him a text message. Hey, dude, I got to cancel the badass $300,000 McLaren and babysit my dog because my wife got an emergency
root canal,
and now she got to go check on her mama.
And then you were stuck here for 3 days. No wonder you're going out of your mind.
God damn, I'm just too macho to be sitting in a fucking house in Los Angeles.
Watching your little dog.
So anyway, while I was doing that, where was I when you were configuring the couch? I have to talk about the couch. Let me put it like this. I have to talk about the couches so I can get it off my mind and move forward in my life. The fuck happened?
Well, you were talking about the car, and then you went to the sofa. But anyway.
Well, I mean, the car was cool.
Okay.
The car was cool, and he ended up coming by the other day, and everybody saw the picture on my Instagram account, Steve Austin BSR. Thank you, Motorator. The McLaren is an awesome car. Getting in and out of that motherfucker was interesting. I needed a shoehorn and some Vaseline, but it worked. And Motorator Matt let me take the car, you know, on about a 5-mile drive. And because it was dark, I didn't have my license on me. I didn't want to get pulled over. I didn't want to get a ticket. That car is amazing. 700 and some odd horsepower. The car weighs about 3,100 pounds. I just blipped the throttle a few times. I wasn't going to do anything stupid.
Right.
I believe it's an all-wheel drive car. God damn. It was...
No, I think he said it was rear wheel.
Oh, you're right. Yeah. You're correct. You're correct, yeah. Kristen. It's a rear wheel drive car. Thank
and I don't
you.
Know why I would remember that because I don't know anything about cars.
But. Oh, man. But Matt's such a knowledgeable guy about cars. He was telling me all the information. You're correct. It's a rear wheel drive car, but it just has super traction. But I wasn't going to just hit the throttle and get squirreling that motherfucker and end up crashing it. And that's what I don't need, a $300,000 nightmare on my hands. But, man, it was cool as shit. So anyway, enough about the car. Your thing to do was...
You came home yesterday and I told you I was adding to our furniture collection by buying an ottoman and maybe changing out the end of the sofa for a chaise lounge because I thought you like to get your feet put up and might be nice for you to watch football.
Yeah, here's the real deal. We got this fucking couch and... It was all fine and dandy, and we got these little boxes to put our feet on for ottomans. And Kristen says, you know what? I'd really like a chaise lounge, because if you have the chaise lounge over here on your end, it closes off the living room space.
Right.
And it's like a
it looks cozier.
Yeah. It closes it up.
Yeah.
And gives you that atmosphere. So I'm like, hey, man, cool. Go ahead and do it. And then so she gets the chaise lounge, and she gets the ottoman. So what happened?
So I bought the new pieces of furniture to complete our set. I got the chaise lounge, got the ottoman. They hooked it all together. But then I had extra pieces. So I thought, well, now that I took out the armless love seat, I have to have another chaise lounge or an end for it because it can't just sit without arms. So I went and purchased some additional pieces to complete the set, so I figured we could put it at 317 Gimmick Street for your podcast studio.
I'm over here. I'm walking back and forth with a tape measure from 317 to 316, from 316 to 317, measuring on the floor, 104 inches, 130 inches, this way, that way. And I'm trying to do, what am I? I was trying to do a podcast.
You were.
And I told her, I said, this is the last trip. I mean, because I just put on a brand new pair of tennis shoes and I'd almost wore those motherfuckers out. And you know, like every time you get a tape measure and you pull that son of a bitch out, you know, I thought I was going to wear the damn numbers off the tape. And so I'm spitting out all these numbers to Kristen. She's at the furniture store with the gimmick person trying to get the correct configuration. So she orders.
Because it's a sectional.
Yeah, sectional.
And they come in pieces.
And so you can, you know, put them on the little hinge, put them off, you know, and it looks like one continuous unit. But goddamn, Kristen, what happened?
Well, I guess I bought too many pieces, and I didn't consider that a chaise lounge on a sofa wouldn't really be feasible for a podcast studio, because who's going to sit on the chaise part, and who's going to sit on the regular sofa part, so I messed that up.
No, it wasn't that, but it's just like, there are so many pieces.
Well, then we had extra pieces, and I'm like, well, if I just have an armless chair, it's okay to just maybe give that to the Salvation Army or something.
It was like Transformers. I mean, goddamn, I come home and there's these pieces of fucking couch and armless chairs. There's a fucking chaise here, an ottoman. The ottoman, once you put the chaise lounge in, was fucked up. It was claustrophobic.
Well, you couldn't even get on the couch because the ottoman's so large that you can't. You have to jump on the ottoman and do it like a tuck and roll to get onto the couch.
I told Kristen, I said, fuck, I said, I'll take that ottoman, put over at 317. I'll just make it to a podcast ottoman. Hey, man, pull up a camp stool and come over to the ottoman. We'll talk. This motherfucker, it deserves its own zip code.
It is a big ottoman.
So anyway.
So now we have too much furniture, and I decide you're going to have a green room at your podcast studio. So
I'm an antisocial podcast host who's going to have a green room with a big ass couch and a chaise lounge for people that I don't have over.
Well, I don't want to waste the furniture, and you can't return it.
The return policy.
There is no return policy.
Kristen called the furniture company and said, "Well, what's the return policy?" Click. They dial toned our ass.
Well, prior to that, I couldn't get the pieces of furniture over to 317 Gimmick Street because the delivery guys promptly said, this is the address it says to deliver it to. We can't deliver it to the address next door because it's against our policy. So I called you Well, you're out there shooting your bow. I said, well, in a sad voice, they're not going to move our furniture next door. And I can't do it by myself.
Oh, you sounded so pathetic. I didn't skip a beat. Offer them 100 spot.
I said, would you be willing to take $100 for it? And he said, sure. And I said, mum's the word. And he looked at me in this perplexed way, like, what's mum's the word?
Shh. It means kayfabe, motherfucker. Take the goddamn couch and the pieces over to 317. If you don't say nothing, we ain't gonna say nothing. That's what mum's the word means. Shh. What happens at 317 stays at 317.
Needless to say, we have a very large sofa over here at 317 Gimmick Street for your potential guests.
I'm thinking to myself, I'm out to Broken Skull Challenge compound, ride my mule, shoot my bow. I'm going to cruise on back and just get my relax in. And now, after I get all relaxed, I'm going to have to go break my back picking up some heavy-ass furniture, and I'm going to be doing two-thirds of the work instead of a half, because I got to pick up that other third for you. And of course, you got that root canal going for you. I didn't want you to bend over and get a shot of pain jolting up your jaw. So I'm thinking, now, great. Now I got to move all this shit next door. So yeah, I'm glad those people moved it over.
Yeah, it was very nice.
But,
very, very nice.
Very nice. Yeah, if it hadn't been for $100, I'd have been doing that shit. But it was funny because, yeah, mum's the word. We ain't saying shit.
It's a podcast, but everybody knows now.
Well, but nobody knows the parties involved. I'm not saying nothing.
This is true.
I'm not saying a goddamn thing. Goddamn, on a serious note, I talked to Ted Fowler 361 yesterday. Goddamn, they're busy over there. Still cleaning up over in Rockport from Hurricane Harvey. I talked to a buddy of mine over in Houston, and they're still trying to dry out over in the Houston area. And then you look at the damn TV and all the stuff going on from Irma. And then the other day, you know,
more hurricanes coming in.
And more, like two or three of them out there brewing, and they're heading this way. One of them just went to smoke Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
Puerto Rico just got hit. All of those regions that I just mentioned are trying to recover.
In addition to the earthquakes.
Yeah, the earthquake in Mexico.
Yep.
And where was it?
We just had one in Japan.
And then we had a very minor. I know, but that's my point. I'm waiting for the big earthquake here, and you've been in every one that's happened so far, and that big one you said was super scary.
Yes.
So that's what I'm sitting there thinking, like, I feel so bad for the people down there in Texas and Florida and all the places that were impacted by those hurricanes, and then that small, and the earthquakes over here and in those other regions. But I'm just waiting for, wherever you live, there's always going to be a trade-off to geographically wherever you live. I don't think anybody's impervious to anything, because they're, you know, in Dallas, Fort Worth, Missouri, I mean, some of those areas there, that were Tornado Alley, they get that. But we got our quakes.
Yes.
And the other night, whether it was 11:30 at night or 5:30 in the morning, I don't remember.
It was 11:30 at night.
I just remember all of a sudden, because you were kind of sleepy.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden that quake hit, and I'm starting to shake around a little bit. Man, you know, and I hadn't been drinking because of the Nalmeen program. And I'm pretty sensitive to when the earth starts moving. I don't like earthquakes. They scare the fuck out of me.
Yeah.
Hurricanes, tornadoes do too.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of used to that because that was in my neck of the woods. These earthquakes scare the fuck out of me. I'm just waiting to see, man, because they're predicting that big motherfucker to come out here one of these days. And I'll never forget, when we lived in Malibu, I probably talked about this on a podcast before, that house was right on the San Andreas Fault.
No, it wasn't it was a different fault. It was a minor fault.
Okay, it wasn't my fault.
No.
Rock made a movie about the San Andreas. I'm living on the motherfucker. Okay, I wasn't living on the San Andreas Fault, but I was living on a fault line, and it was kind of like after we signed the paperwork, I kind of read about
that. Well, we had a geologist out there to do a survey, and that's what he discovered, so.
That motherfucker. I ain't never buying a house on the vault line again.
But anyway, we're in L.A., and we do need to be prepared. And I've been talking to you about getting a generator for at least 5 months.
And I want to buy a generator because we need to. And I was over here putting up all my barbells and stuff, because when I finished filming Broken Skull Challenge, I had my Olympic bar, some plates, my dumbbells out there. And so when I went out to ride the mules and shoot the bow, I loaded all that shit up. It had been in my storage container out there. And I backed up to the garage over here, opened up the garage, and I was like, there's a piano, There's a refrigerator from the 1930s that I collected when I was antique shopping in Georgia 25 years ago. There's my power rack.
There's that big mirror. There's signs. It's a motorcycle garage, and there's a lot of stuff in it.
A motorcycle garage?
Well, it's big front. You can't even get a car in that garage.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's not even a one-car garage.
Right.
Yeah, but my point is, we got to clear some space out of that damn garage to put the generator in there.
Right.
Because we're looking at buying, what, I guess a 4,500 to 6,500 watt generator?
Yep. No, 4,000 to 5,000.
4,000 to 5,000.
Yeah.
Whatever. So we need a place to put the motherfucker. We got to get some, what are you going to do with that piano? You don't play it anymore.
I have to do something with it. Just as you have to do something with those lollipop scales.
Oh, man, I got some lollipop scales that I bought from Joe Gold. One is a Toledo. One of them is a Watkins. One of them used to be on the Santa Monica Pier. I might eBay or Craigslist those motherfuckers. They need a little bit of work. They're not in working condition, but they're in really good shape. And I've owned those things for about 12 or 14 years. I bought them from Joe Gold at the World Gym before he passed away. But I need to get rid of them. I don't know what they're worth.
We need to get rid of
them. If you want them, send me an email to questions@steveaustinshow.com. Because I've had those motherfuckers in California.
Texas, Malibu.
Yeah, but the one time when I bought them from Joe Gold, my Chevy pickup.
Oh, yeah.
My same pickup out there. I wasn't going to put Dan back there with those scales. And a lollipop scale is back in the 30s. You stand on the platform, either put in a penny or a nickel, and it would tell you how much you weigh and maybe tell you your fortune. And I figured, okay, we need to move these things, put them in storage, and I'm not going to put my buddy Dan in the back of the pickup truck. I'll let him drive, and I'll be back here, Mr. Macho,
in Los Angeles.
In Los Angeles. Too stupid to tie them down. Just fucking too stupid. And I'm in the back with these two lollipop scales. And when you say lollipop, it's because the heads are real big, and it goes down to a stem and then the base that you stand on. So they're top-heavy like a motherfucker. My buddy's making these corners, and he's taking off, and he's hitting the brakes. A piece of white trash trying to hold these two fucking scales
up.
Were
you standing in the back?
Yeah. Oh. It was ridiculous. Almost lost my life. I should have been wearing a helmet.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous. I mean, you know, when my buddy got to the storage unit, I damn near punched him in the mouth. Like, dude, when you hear me back here yelling and selling, telling you to slow the fuck down, slow the fuck down. So I'm tired of the scales. And when we bought the ranch, we shipped the scales on a truck all the way down to the Broken Skull Ranch. And when we sold the ranch, they weren't going to convey because I'm such a tightwad. So we shipped the cocksuckers back. And now they're in my garage. And now they're in the way. I got a gut full of them. I'm tired of them. And they got to go. So if you want a lollipop scale, send me a motherfucking email. questions@steveaustinshow.com. And there's a bunch of other shit we need to get rid of. And if we find Broken Skull Ranch 2.0 in Nevada, we're only looking for about 10 to 50 acres. It'll be a small Broken Skull ranch.
Ranchette.
Correct. When we find the Broken Skull Ranch yet in Nevada, I'll have that power rack. And you know what?
You have three power racks, I think.
No, I got two. The one's back there.
Yeah.
Over there, and this one's in this garage. So that's what I got.
You have a lot of exercise.
Well, I don't need any more weights. Okay. Yeah, I don't want any more weights. I'm weighted out, and I'm doing all this body weight stuff anyway. But that's where all that stuff will go. We just got to find that place, and we're looking.
But we need to make room for a generator.
Yeah, and now we got to find out what kind of generator we want to buy. I was on Consumer Reports the other day looking at Generacs, Hondas, Briggs & Strattons. All the different brands.
Yeah.
But we got to have a generator because I was talking to some of my peeps down there in Florida, tried to ride a storm out in Orlando, and they did, and they were okay, but they were without power.
Right.
For about two weeks. Teddy went for 2 weeks, and he was able to rustle up two generators. But if there is a quake over here, we got to be ready. So I guess, you know, if there's a moral to this segment or whatever of the podcast, man, you got to be ready. I don't want to be a doomsday prepper. If the shit hits a fan, I got all my supplies as far as my hunting supplies. Let's leave it like that. I got hunting supplies, but we need electricity.
Yes.
We need water. We need some canned
batteries,
goods,
radio,
batteries.
Yeah. Extra medication. There's a whole list of things you can look on the.
Yeah, and that being said, I mean, when you say medication, you might as well stock up on whiskey too. I mean, we just get a little bitty gimmick generator and a bunch of whiskey and a bunch of sake, we might be able to ride it out.
We need ice cubes.
Oh, God dang, I forgot to mention that. Speaking of Blanton's.
Which is a whiskey.
It's my favorite whiskey that I like to drink. We went to the liquor store the other day, and I told you guys I was going to do a podcast about my keto diet. And I only drink a little bit of whiskey one time a week because I was still on my program. And as I told you on the Tuesday podcast, I just started introducing carbs. So still, just the shots of whiskey one night a week. And so I'd run out, and Kristen and I were on our way to the restaurant for my cheat meal, which was a cheeseburger. And I said, man, I ain't got no whiskey to drink afterwards. She said, well, let's go by the liquor store now so we don't have to go later. And as she's walking in, my baby girl, I said, if they got any Blanton's, buy it.
And it's hard to get Blanton's.
It's hard to find Blanton's. And I'll be goddamn if here comes my wife walking with a bag in her hand. And what'd you get, two bottles?
No, I got one.
Got one bottle. And she got in the car, she put the bottle in the back, we're heading over to the place.
Well, and you got all excited.
Yeah, I was excited.
Because you saw that was Blanton's instead of your regular stuff.
Well, the stuff I was drinking, the Eagle Rare, comes in a tall bottle, that Blanton comes in a short bottle in that box, so I recognized that box. I was like, oh man, they had Blanton's, that's awesome.
I said, yeah, they had a whole case of it. You said, a whole case? We're going back. So you just circled the block. I ran back in. I said, I'll take the whole thing.
No, you said, you asked her, said, because a lot of times you can only get one bottle.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, per customer. And you said, hey, can you get just one bottle or can I get a whole case? And what'd she say?
She said, I'll take it as it goes. I want to sell the product, so.
I love when they say that. And so anyway, I got a case.
Well, we didn't get a case of Blanton's because I said, I'll take the whole case. And she said, well, we only have two left.
No, but she's going to box it up because
she couldn't find it upstairs. Yeah.
And so I made an investment.
Yes.
It's an investment.
And we're giving them out as gifts, too.
No, we're not. I thought that sounded good when I told you that.
Oh.
It's an investment. And look at it this way, Kristen. When we're prepping for the earthquake that's probably going to hit one of these days, we can cross off whiskey.
That is true. I think Ted stocked up on whiskey, too, before the hurricane.
Oh, yeah. He went the Jack Daniels route.
Yeah.
And so whatever floats your boat, but you got to be ready. And we're ready. But I'm going to go to Home Depot as soon as I finish this podcast, and I'm going to go look at
Thank
generators.
Thank goodness.
But well, I got to do some more research first.
Well, first you have to put this couch back together and start the green room.
You know what? I'm going to have to get one of those. In this house right here, there's no air conditioning.
Oh, that's another thing you need at Home Depot.
So I'm gonna get me one of those little stand-up air conditioners that I can hook to the generator if the power goes out. And I'm gonna be over here drinking whiskey from my ice maker just because I'm stressed out from having to do so much shit because I have such a demanding wife. Our schedule is quite hectic. I got a chance to talk to Nature Boy Ric Flair this morning. I saw on People.com they did a real nice interview down there in Atlanta with Nature Boy Ric Flair and his fiancée, Wendy. And, man, you know, Rick's looking a lot better. You know, and it interviewed his fiancée, Wendy, and she was doing great. And turns out Hulk Hogan had stopped by and visited him. And it was great to see, you know, Rick's still got a long ways to go. But, man, if you get a chance to pick up People Magazine or get on People.com, there's that story or that video package of
I think it was called People TV.
People TV, whatever it is. It's just awesome. You know, he's not out of the woods yet, as they say in the video, but it was just a really nice presentation. I thought they did a really nice job, and it's great to see that you know, Ric Flair continues to improve. And I tell you what, it's an emotional piece. It kind of bring a tear to your eyes. So I hope that Rick, that you're feeling better and continue to recover. You know, down there in Atlanta, and to Wendy for being so strong and being by your side. It was an awesome story. Kristen, I think it is time to ride off into the sunset. What's the rest of your day looking like? I was forced to take yesterday off. It was after I went to the Broken Skull Challenge Compound and got smoked by all those fucking people. I had to do a bunch of shit once I got home. Now I got to put this furniture together. I am going to work out today.
I'm going to go buy some more furniture for your green room.
And this little bitty tiny ass house. The goddamn, I told Kristen when I got home, I saw that transformer couch she bought. And she said, what are you going to do? And we just got finished remodeling our house. I said, call Randy. We're going to kick out this wall 10 feet. We got to add on to our house to fit the fucking couch in. Whether it's cheaper to return the couch or kick the wall out 10 feet, I don't give a fuck. But we got to do it.
We love our couch.
The thing about it was coming over here to this clusterfuck and trying to make chicken salad out of chicken shit and return policy, click, came. you talk about getting your eyes raked. We got our work cut out for us, but we will overcome this, I don't want to say era, this, what would you call this? Clusterfuck.
I was going to say a minor mistake.
Not a minor mistake. Hey, if you ever come over to 317 Gimmick Street,
you'll have a place to sit.
I'm going to have the goddamnedest green room you ever saw with seats galore. I'm going to put down a big ass carpet. I'm going to put a big screen on the wall. In the closet in there, I'm going to put a foam enclosure. My buddy Brian Bentley gave me the idea to do my voiceovers for Broken Skull Challenge. This is going to be the goddamnedest studio you ever saw.
And the funny thing, it's going to be in one bedroom of a 1,000-square-foot house.
The story of a global icon and a national treasure. No, the saga continues. Kristen, it's lunchtime. Let's go get some sushi.
All right.
All right, everybody, give me the go-home cue. It's time to wrap up this podcast and ride off in the sunset. Before I do, I want to thank my illustrious wife, Kristen, for joining me on today's show. Hey, I'm going to give you guys something to watch. As I mentioned in the podcast, on People.com, People TV, whatever it is, there's a great story that they did on Ric Flair and Wendy, his fiance, down in Atlanta, through the troubles, the health problems, the comeback that he's been through, that he's making. And that's what I recommend for you to watch. If you can head over to that website and check that out. Nature Boy still ain't out of the woods yet, just like Wendy said. And I'll tell you what, that's a real powerful video. I consider Ric Flair to be the greatest professional wrestler of all time. So check it out if you get a chance and see what's going on with the Nature Boy. Boy, I tell you what, I hope you guys have your DVR set to CMT, because the season premiere is coming up real soon. It's going to be on Tuesday, September 26th at 10, 9 Central, only on CMT. And this is Season 5. We'll see if we get Season 6, but let's just say this is Season 5. And if this is the last season we ever get, this is the damnedest season I've ever filmed. The challenges are off the chart. The athletes are off the chart. Both the men and the women came out there and just gave it hell. I'm proud of them. I'm proud of the show. Highly recommend that you watch this. Don't just watch the season premiere. Just set your DVR to record the whole series, because that's where you get the highs and lows, the ups and downs, the triumphs and the tragedies, and just people coming out there and giving everything they got. Had a lot of fun being attached to it. Had fun out there at the compound yesterday shooting my bow. So tune in. Set your DVRs for September 26th. That's a Tuesday, 10, 9 Central. Only on CMT. Hey, man, I got a damn IPA. It's a great beer. It's called Broken Skull IPA. It's from El Segundo Brewing Company. And you can find it all over California at Whole Foods and Total Wines. And if they don't have it in one, ask the manager why the fuck they don't have it. If you ain't in Cali, check out InsideTheCellar.com and see if they ship to your state. And if you're looking to get a damn knife, I highly recommend everybody have one. Great place to go, a great place to get one. The Cold Steel Broken Skull Knife, or my new Working Man Knife, you can get at my new Amazon store. Amazon has the best price on both knives. Just go to amazon.com/shop/Steve Austin. And I got to say one more thank you to all the fine sponsors of the Steve Austin Show. That's how I'm able to do this podcast for you twice a week for free. And you can find all my sponsors at podcastone.com. Just click on the Killer Deals button at the top of the page and then click on the Steve Austin Show banner. And speaking of Podcast One, the new Podcast One app is now available for download at the App Store or Google Play. There ain't another podcast app like this one anywhere, and that's because the new Podcast One app is loaded with some cool features that lets you do a lot more than just listen to your favorite shows. You can access behind-the-scenes photos, articles, and connect with other fans of the shows you like. And you can watch over 1,000 360 virtual reality videos. You can actually watch some of your favorite shows in virtual reality. It's like you're sitting right in a room with them. So get to the App Store or Google Play and download the new Podcast One app now. Folks, if you want to follow me on social media, I am on Twitter and Instagram at Steve Austin BSR. Folks, until next time, my name is Steve Austin, and I will catch your ass down the road.
Download new episodes of Steve Austin Unleashed every Thursday at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.